Welcome back to the Fit Dad Club podcast. You're here with Travis Jones and Jason Barrett. How are you doing today, Jace?
Doing well, mate. Had a little bit of a play this morning with Imi at a little sensory park, which was a little bit of fun and games, and running around after her has definitely been my morning steps in cardio. So if you're struggling to get your cardio in, take your kids to the park. Win brownie points with the kids, right. Win brownie points with your wife, get your steps in, win brownie points with your coach. Fucking there you go. There you go. That's the podcast, guys. Just take your kids to the park.
That's it. I think. It's school holidays still here. School holidays are different all over Australia. But it's last week of school holidays, so yesterday was some playtime at one of the play centres, and today, I don't know. It's a bit crappy weather down in Tasmania. I feel like yesterday I ran 25k, so my legs are a bit heavy. I'm supposed to do some sprints today, a 20k run tomorrow, and a 30k run on Saturday. But I might push my sprints today to Saturday and do some weights today, because as long as I'm doing something daily and I get my total weekly mileage in, this is the same as what we say to our guys. You can push stuff around, one, as long as you're not being a little bitch, but you can push stuff around within the week and within your constraints, right? If I did it today, that's like, it's going to not fly with the constraints that I currently have, knowing it's the last couple of days of school holidays and me wanting to play with the kids a bit more and be active with them during the day. So instead we'll go down to the park, like you said, and probably just have some fun together rather than me going for another 15 k's of fucking running, because I don't really feel like doing that every day.
I was gonna say, I feel like the mental game of the running is one of the biggest, like the monotony.
Yeah, it's just that, right? Like, and okay, I've switched from, especially my sprints, my long, slow runs, I'm happy to listen to like podcasts, but my sprints, I need to listen to music now. I don't have to, but I prefer to listen to music at a beats per minute that allows me to engage in the stride that I need. So I'm not constantly clock watching. And then I'm like, I'm churning through playlists a lot at the moment, because it's like, and then like people have playlists out there that are just absolute garbage. So I'm trying to sprint, like Beyonce comes on. It's like, I don't want to, the girls aren't running the world right now. This is the Fit Dad podcast. I don't
the
want
girls the aren't girls even run. Fucking running. The girls are sitting on the couch doing nothing.
They aren't here right now. I'm here. I don't want them to run the world. I'm trying to run around this fucking oval.
Honestly, people's playlist songs, I've seen them before. It's like, oh, motivating gym, like hip hop playlist. And I'm like, no, man, I want DMX yelling at me. I want some heavy shit when I'm training. I don't want this like light stuff. So sort your playlists out, people.
Sort your playlists out. Exactly. So that is me, and that is my laugh for the day. But to guys, today we're going to talk about a little bit of identity, because it is such a crucial part, guys. And we do talk about mindset a lot. We do talk about identity and who you're trying to become and who you're trying to move away from, because that is, at the end of the day, if you can get your mindset right, anything is possible, like absolutely anything, because it's the behavioral change that is linked to the mindset that allows you to do or not to do the simple things that will get you the result. And to have the different life, to have the life that you want, because let's not fucking beat around the bush. Every single one of you out there wants to be fit. Whether you are fit or not right now, everyone wants to be fit. Everyone wants to be able to run with their kids. Everyone wants to look in the mirror and be confident and happy with what they see. No one wants to look at a gut hanging over their dick. No one wants that. They don't. They want to see it and they want to be proud of it, right? Like, and like you want to go down the beach, and it doesn't mean you have to have your shirt off and oil yourself up and have some abs, but you want to go down the beach and not feel self-conscious. You don't want to feel like you're an embarrassment to your family. You don't want to feel like your kids aren't looking up to you. Like, you want to have all the little things that makes you feel like you were the role model of your family. And to have that requires a certain set of behaviors. And those behaviors, if you don't have that, or you haven't had that and you're getting it now, like you're getting to that confident version of you and you're doing a new set of behaviors, like you can never go back to your old self. And I think that is something that people don't understand. And that is the big thing that we want to talk about today.
I completely agree. I think you've got to be willing, and we've talked about it before, you've got to shift that internal perception before you can see the changes externally. Like, you've got to be willing to become that person and divorce the past and marry your future, in essence. You've got to be willing to let go of that stuff. And the reason why this topic was kind of bubbling around in my head a bit was I was thinking about yesterday when I was going on a very slow walk recovering from my back tweak. So I was walking around the suburb like I had a stick up my ass, which I'm sure everyone thought, trying to film a video, be like, nah, this isn't just going to work. I'm going to type it out instead. But this comes from a place of what you're currently doing and who you currently are is, it cannot be who you are in the future. This can't be who you continue to be if you're not happy with your current level of results. Like, your behaviors become who you are. You become your behaviors. So over time, if you keep doing the same stuff, you will eventually become that person. If you become the guy who, binge eats and binge drinks, it's like, you are a binge drinker. You are a binge eater. Like, that's just because you are your behaviors. If you want to get some better results and you want to be that example for your family, you've got to let go of that shit. And you've got to have come to the realization and come to the awareness that your current behaviors and your current actions, they can't be what you do ever again. Like, it's plain and simple. Now, I'm not saying, oh, but I currently like to eat pizza and that means I can never eat pizza ever again. I'm like, no, well, you currently like to eat pizza once a week or once every 3 or 4 days. That's probably a bit too fucking much. You can have pizza once a month. You can have pizza in not an entire Meat Lovers to yourself with the sides and the Coke. There are changes and there are sort of middle grounds in this, but it's like the current level of action and behaviors that you're currently taking, that can't be who you continue to be. You just cannot continue to be that person. You cannot continue to take and do those behaviors because it'll just get you right back to where you are. So many people think when they go on a fat loss plan, it's like it's either all or nothing. I either go all fat loss or I go back to eating burgers and pizza and drinking beers. There's a middle ground, right? You can slowly work your way back up, include keeping your movement going. You can't be the guy that doesn't go for walks anymore. You can't be the guy that doesn't train in any capacity. You can't be the guy who doesn't have a gym membership if that's the level of results that you want, because you're going to have one, or you're going to have a home gym and you're going to fucking use the home gym at least 2 to 3 times a week. That's got to be your minimum standard. We've talked about this time and time again, but we've talked about what you have to do, but what that requires is you letting go, and you've got to let go of that person that you have become now from eating shit, from constantly binge drinking, from sitting down all day, sitting down on the weekend, not engaging with your family, not doing active stuff. That can't be who you are. You don't have to go the full bottle the other end of the spectrum, but you've got to be like, all right, this is not who I am. This is not the blueprint for who I want to be. So I've just got to stop doing that shit. And you've got to be willing to be okay with that.
Yeah, mate. And when we look at it, we talked earlier in the year about roles and goals in our life. And we there's roles that we play, and there's three main roles, which is our work, which is our fitness, and our relationships, right? Our family and, intimate partner. Now, inside all of these, essentially roles, then we have minimum performance standards. Now, for all of us, if we look at our previous self and the results that we previously got, if we don't keep a measure or tracking these minimum performance standards, what happens is we slowly start to slip because we lose top of mind awareness until we get unconscious competence, essentially, right? So we all start with, I'm overweight and I don't feel good about myself, and or I'm in a relationship and it's not going very well, or I'm not making the money I want to make, right? And sometimes we don't know why our relationship is garbage. We just don't. Sometimes we don't know why we're overweight. Like, people say to us all the time, I'm eating healthy, I just keep gaining weight, because they're unconsciously incompetent. You're unconsciously incompetent at your current relationship. Maybe you're unconsciously incompetent at your current job. And this isn't saying you're incompetent. It means you don't even know you're incompetent. And that's okay. And to have a growth mindset, it requires us to have the humility when we get feedback like this to be curious. Okay, if I'm incompetent, what does competence look like? Right, and I think that's the main thing. A fixed mindset looks at feedback as something negative. A growth mindset looks at feedback through the lens of curiosity. I was like, so if you hear me saying right now that you're incompetent in your relationship, you're like, no, man, like, I'm the best ever. I was like, okay, well, if you were shit, like, how would you become better, right? Or what will you be doing that is currently shit? And you have to ask yourself and deep dive, okay, what would minimum performance standards look like? And I go, well, at the moment, you know, are you walking, if we're looking at health, are you walking 8,000 steps a day as a minimum? I have no idea how many steps I work. Well, okay, well, then you are unconsciously incompetent at your steps. How many calories are you eating at the moment? Are you gaining weight over the last 6 months? Yes. How many calories are you eating? I don't know. Well, you're unconsciously incompetent at tracking your food and managing how much food you're putting in your mouth. How many times are you training each week? And are you following a program that's getting you gaining more strength? Are you stronger than you were 3 months ago? I don't know. I don't track my strength. Okay, well, you're consciously incompetent at your training at the moment. And that is also okay. So if we look at it, you know, until we track things and until we know what to track, which is a key area, which is why you have a coach or you have a role model to help point you in the right direction, to show you what to track and what not to track. What are the big, you know, 20% of the things that give us 80% of the results? Because there's a lot of shit out there that you just shouldn't be tracking. How many minutes you sit in an ice bath? Fucking doesn't matter. How many times you do an infrared sauna each week? Doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. But there's a couple of three key or four key areas that if you track these things, they give you 80% of the results. So if you have someone that identifies those top three things in those three roles that you play in life, and you go, well, at the moment, you're unconsciously incompetent because you aren't tracking these things and you don't know what they are. So we need to move you to conscious competence. So now what I want you to do is I'm going to highlight the three areas. I need you to track them for the next 26 weeks. And over the next 26 weeks, we'll continue to dial these three or four things in so you become consciously competent at them. Until you become the version of you that you want to be because you've changed the trajectory of your life, because you're becoming consciously competent at those tasks that change you from fat version of you to fit version of you. You're like, yeah, I'm fit version of me. And until they become just a byproduct of your day, right? It is what it is. Then you move into unconscious competence. You don't even have to think about it anymore. You love going to the gym. You don't, when you go out to dinner, you don't try and order like it's your last meal before you're on death row. Like if you go out to breakfast on a Sunday, you don't have to order the big breakfast with all the sides, right? Like, you know, it doesn't mean you can if you want to, but your default option is normally aligned with your conscious competence even when you don't even think about it anymore. And that's when you know that you've made it. You've actually changed your life. And you've changed your life because you aren't the version of you that you were. The decisions that you used to make aren't even in your head anymore. Oh, I'm going to park close to the store because I don't want to walk very far. You automatically start parking further away, right? Just because you want to get a couple of extra steps in. Or you just don't want someone to smash your car. You get eggs on toast when you go out for breakfast. It's your automatic go-to. You automatically look at a menu before you go to a restaurant. You choose what you're going to have because you don't like being put on the spot, right? Like, I don't know, but there is an automatic set of habits that you will fall into once you become unconsciously incompetent, which will allow you to keep the weight off for the rest of your life. And the problem is a lot of people move from unconscious incompetence to conscious competence, but they only stay inside that conscious competence for a very small window of time and they don't cement those behaviors. What they do is that one, they look at it as a quick fix. And then because they got that initial result they're looking for, they haven't moved across into that next realm, which is unconscious competence. They're like, they're always looking back to, I can't wait to go back and have beers with the boys every Friday night. I can't wait to go back to, you know, not having to train. It's like, man, like training's a part of your life for the rest of your life. Like, this is it. Like, oh, but I don't like it. Well, fucking start to learn how to like it, right? Like find something you love, right? And it's like, and then look at it differently. What you're looking at is you're looking at training as a means to an end. I'm going to burn these calories because I ate those calories and I can't. And you're looking at it in a negative light. It's not a celebration of what you can do. It's a punishment of what you did do. So I think until we start to, and this is why I like performance-based goals to continue to people go. So you can have these habit-based goals to start with when we start looking to when our training is and we're looking to lose weight. But as we've lost that weight, and we're moving towards, we're about 80% of the way to our goal. This is when complacency sits in. And this is when people start to revert back to old habits because they're like, oh, I'm not in as much pain as I was. And all of a sudden in 6 months, their after picture is worse than the before picture because it's the after picture. But if they start having performance-based goals that are like 6 months away, it requires them to continue to dig deep. It requires them to put another level of intensity into their training. They're looking at their performance metrics even a little bit different, right? They'll shift a little bit more. Maybe it's not how many times you go to the gym, but maybe it's what kilometer per hour you're running, or maybe it's like how much you're lifting for some powerlifting meet or something that you have. But I think this is the big thing. We don't continue to evolve, because that's just an evolution is all I'm talking about. Mm. What we do is we want to evolve, and then what's the opposite of evolution, Jace? You're the man with the words.
Like
devolve? I would say it's a revolve.
Reverse de-evolution.
Yeah, exactly. But that's essentially what we're doing. We're not looking to evolve again, because we are a 1.0. And like, yeah, 1.0 is, I don't really like this. And then we want to become 2.0. And then we need to become 3.0, because we always need to be progressing. And if not, we will revert back to old behaviors. So we can't look at this evolution as a short-term fix to a long-term problem, right? We need to look at it as a long-term fix to the, you know, short-term problem that you had, which was weight gain. And then now this long-term fix is something that you just carry for the rest of your life. It's like, man, I'm going to be lifting until I'm 80, if you can. Right? If not, you're going to be running. If not, you're going to be walking. If not, you're going to be doing on your biking, right? If not, you're in a paddle and you're kayaking, like you're doing something, right? And you know, if something gets taken away from you, find the next thing. And I look to my father-in-law, man, he's like 74, ran a half marathon. Like he's evolved constantly. He's like, there's an obstacle and he'll continue to move. And it's the same as he did in business. It's the same as we do in business, right? We don't go, oh, I'm just going to have a quick sprint and make some money and then go back to our old habits. No, our old habits, if you had a business that wasn't going the right direction, would also make that new business go broke as well. So if you try and do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, you're a fucking idiot, right? So if you change your life because you weren't happy with your life, you can't go back to your old habits, because then all of a sudden you get the same result as the old habits gave you, which is either broke, you know, not having a great relationship, and fat. And no one wants to be broke, fat, and not have relationships. Like those are the three goals that you don't want, except that's where so many people slip into.
100%, man. It's that comfort zone. It's you have to bust through that discomfort just outside your comfort zone to get to that new promised land, to get to the new achievement zone where you can achieve and keep these goals from for a long period of time. You get comfortable in your eating and your drinking, and you get comfortable in that spot, and then all the awareness and the spotlight that we shine on it, you can deal with that for a little bit. But as Trav said, it's like, you're thinking about it as a finite goal. And this is the biggest issue for everyone that comes in. It's like, cool, I want to lose 10 kilos. So, oh, what about after that? Right? Oh yeah, after I lose the 10 kilos, I'm all good. And then guess what? They come back fucking 6 months later because they put the 10 kilos and more back on again, because they never embraced actually fucking changing. And this is like the deep down question. Like, do you actually want to fucking change for the rest of your life? Or are you a little bit uncomfortable with your current body fat and you just want to get rid of it for a little bit for summer, and then you're going to put it all back on once you can wear jumpers and long pants again, and no one will really know, oh, is he big or is he just wearing a big jumper, right? Like, cool. If that's what you want to do, go for it. But you're just going to be yo-yoing the same shit. You've got to be willing to fundamentally say, I'm not going to fucking do this yo-yo again. I'm not going to gain all this weight back. I'm not going to lose it all again. I'm not going to go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's just, it's not who I am. I am going to commit to being this person for the rest of my life, which means I've got to commit to doing some different shit for the rest of my life. Now, it sounds big and scary because you're committing to something for the rest of your life, right? It's like this big, broad thing. It's like, oh, fuck, I can never do these things again, or I always am going to have to be doing this stuff. But it will get easier and better over time. Right? In the initial term, it's going to take you like 70 to 80% of your mental focus around food, around training. Like, it's going to take that much of your mental effort to remind yourself and force yourself to go on the walk, or remind yourself, force yourself to go to the gym, to eat the, you know, you're going to be shaking there with the menu. You're trying to point at the chicken parmy, but the steak and salad, you know, it looks like you have Parkinson's. It's going to be difficult. But you've got to make the better choice, and it's going to take a lot of effort until it doesn't take the effort. That's what Trav's talking about with the whole unconscious incompetence. Like, you're unconsciously just picking stupid shit because you don't know any better, right? And that's okay. But you've got to go through that uncomfortable period of conscious incompetence where, oh, now I realize how shit I'm being, and I realize how shit I'm being, to light a fire under your ass. You move into the conscious competence where you start to, you know, be better, and you're like, okay, cool. I know I'm doing well, but I've got it. It still takes that focus. And as Trav's saying, it gets less and less and less over time. It might start 70, 80% of your mental focus is on making this shit work. Then it gets to 60, then it gets to 50, then it gets to 40, until you get to the point where it's like, it's easy and you don't even have to think about it at all because it is who you are. Now, to be perfectly honest, there are going to be times where you probably need to put a hand back on the wheel and you need to steer back into the lane a little bit, because as with anyone, like Trav and I have both had this experience where, you know, you gain a couple of kilos, you get a little bit up, but then it's like, okay, cool, I'm now in my uncomfortable zone. But instead of my uncomfortable zone being, I've got to lose 20 kilos and I can't see my dick anymore, my uncomfortable zone is now, oh, I'm about 3-4 kilos. I feel a bit fluffy. My love handles are just like a little bit patchy. I feel soft. All right, time for a cut, time to sort of rein it back in. And you'll be good for like another 6 months. Like, It's like driving the Tesla with the autopilot. It's like, it might require some minor corrections every now and again if it doesn't know what's going on. But like, you can easily steer back into the lane without a hell of a lot of effort. But thinking that after 12 weeks, you'll just magically maintain those results without any level of effort is, I think, where people go wrong. Because they think once they lose the weight, they can just go back to what they're doing. Oh, I was maintaining, I wasn't gaining weight. I was maintaining my weight when I was with what I was doing before. So yeah, but you were maintaining 20 kilos heavier. You are a smaller body now. You require less.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing as well. It's like, the smaller version of you burns less calories on a daily basis. So if you did eat what you used to eat, you would then just gain weight back until you got to where you used to be. I think that's the thing that people don't understand. And I've had guys like, man, I've been coaching dads over the last 2.5 years. And some of the boys that I still coach started with me 2.5 years ago. And this is, you know, I didn't start coaching 2.5 years ago. For those people who knew the podcast, I started coaching over 20 years ago. Okay, I've been in this game a long time. But with the online dads, 2.5 years ago, some of my clients still coach with me. That doesn't mean they aren't lean. That doesn't mean they aren't like strong or they aren't fit. It means the fact that I am the accountability mirror for them, just to make sure they stay on track. And our calls on the weekly or the fortnightly basis aren't as, oh, look at your calories. It's like, yeah, man, like some of the guys will go, you know what, I'm not going to track for the next 4 weeks my nutrition, but I will still weigh in each week. And we have a deviation point with a lot of my guys, just like I do for me, right? My deviation point, or my point where I go, I dial it in, is 92 kilos, right? If I get anywhere to 92 kilos, I need to start tracking my food religiously to make sure I get back to the weight where I'm happy to stay at, which is like 88, 89 kilos. And that's where I feel good. Now, for them, they also have set points, okay? You can go to here, and then we have to change. Or some of them have just gone through dieting phases, which we're going through cuts and then lean muscle gain, and then cuts and lean muscle gain. Me personally, I don't want to gain more lean muscles. So I just go through periods of dieting and not tracking at all. And it takes me about, you know, sometimes I put a little bit of weight on, sometimes I don't, but it's never above 92 kilos because I jump on the scale once a month and every month I'm like, all right, I know where I am. And that's one of the things also, one of the key areas of people who don't gain weight and they keep it off for the rest of their life are people who jump on the scale more often than not, right? Because they don't live in denial. If you're afraid to jump on the scale, you put off jumping on the scale, like, oh, I'll do it. Oh, I've had a big day, last couple of days. I don't want to jump on the scales. It's because you know the scale is going to read something that you don't want it to read. And the guys that keep coaching at me, we still have some data points we always check in on, whether they're gaining muscle or not, or just performance-based goals. But for me and them, we have goals that we're always working towards the 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 version of them. Ones that they're running half marathons, they're running marathons, they're doing ultras, or they're doing like the High Rocks competitions. But they're having goals that they're striving towards, and I'm there as their checkpoint so I can keep them on track, because it's so easy for every single person out there to lose track. Because if this is not your bread and butter, this is not what you do for your life, which, you know, most people, it's not what they do for their life. You know, you get sidetracked with life because life is busy and it's only going to get busier, and it will continue to get busier until you probably retire. But until then,
and then you'll be busy looking after grandkids.
Exactly. So because of that, you need someone. It's like, I'm like the gauges on their car they're driving, right? So the check engine light, or the replace, you know, change your oil or whatever it is. It's like, that's what I'm there for. I'm the accountability engine lights on their body, because, and I tell them what they need to be doing, or if they're revving too hard, we need to take it back a notch. And I think that's what you have to look at, is like, until you understand how to read your own engine lights, You need someone in your corner to help you read them, because you aren't at that unconscious, competent state yet. You haven't divorced the version of you. You haven't. You aren't the person anymore that's like, you know what? Like, I only drink a few times a year, maybe, right? And I actually get drunk a few times a year. Because I would say that if you are someone who wants to be the best version of you, then yeah, you probably only would drink, get drunk a few times a year. You might have a couple of beers here and there every week, or a couple of whiskeys, nothing wrong with that. But you probably don't do it every night. And you definitely don't get drunk every month. Because if not, you know how it makes you feel. You know it's not the best version of you. So we do less of what makes us feel the less version, best version of us. You're someone who, if you like get an itch to train and you can't wait to train and you love it, right? Doesn't mean you wake up every single day like jumping out of bed. It's like, I can't wait to lift these weights this morning. It's like, it doesn't mean that every day you feel that, but you love training, right? Until you love training, and you will get to the point. Everyone will get to the point where they love training. Everyone won't get to the point where they love doing super fucking hard shit all the time, but you get to the point where you love training, then yeah, you probably aren't unconsciously competent with that. Like, you just probably aren't. Like, we have to look at the stats, and we have to look at my minimum performance standards I do now without even thinking about it. And if you get to there, yeah, you've completely changed your life and your identity. If you still have to work to get there, you have not changed your identity, and you can't take your foot off the gas until you do. And it doesn't take 21 days to create a habit. Doesn't take fucking 66 days to create a habit. Some people, it takes 2 years. Some people, it might take 5 years. Depends on what your environment is. Depends on what your support structure is. Depends on how shit your habits were in the past. And depends on how hard the habits you are that are trying, you're trying to engage, like ingrain. For me, like I keep trying to get a streak of 14,000 steps a day. And I did for like 35 days earlier in the year, or maybe it was like 45 days earlier in the year. And then me trying to do the steps every day of the week, I was like, I can kind of get there, but I was feeling like it was pressure. So as long as I have about an average of about 100,000 steps a week, I'm happy. So I've just changed my averages instead of daily to go weekly. Like, I did 30,000 steps yesterday. I did 38,000 on Sunday. If I look at those two together, it's like 68,000 steps. I mean, I didn't have to even walk for the rest of the week, but I did. But if I look at it, it took the pressure off. And I think for you, to have someone to help guide you through that version of you that you need to become is crucial to cement your new identity. I think that's such a big thing.
Yeah, if you don't have someone in your corner to push you through, and also to kind of call bullshit, because there's a lot of guys that will finish a program, they'll be, oh yeah, nah, like I feel like I'm pretty good, I feel like I've got it from here, but you will take that foot off the gas pedal. Like, you will start to slow down, you'll start to revert. You might not be 100% at your goal yet, but you'll start to ease in, and oh yeah, like, I'm not doing anything anymore. I don't need a track. I'm not accountable to anyone. If you don't at least have a game plan for after that period of time, you're not there. You're not at that point. You've got to know, and you've got to be honest and real with yourself and be like, oh, this is going to take, as you said, a long fucking time. Like, it took me until I would say like, until maybe even like last year to sort of the start of this year, maybe a little bit before I was really at that point where I'm like, yeah, no, like, this is not, that's not who I am. I don't need to go out and eat a bunch of shit. I don't need to drink. I don't need to do all of these other things. Like, I already wasn't doing those things, but I feel like now it's at the point where I don't have to, I don't feel like I need to track my food. I will still track my weight because I'm like, it's a data point. And this goes out to the people who think that, you know, oh, tracking your weight is unhealthy, or, you know, you get obsessive or all of this other stuff. Like, yeah, there are people that can obsess over it, but the weight itself means fucking nothing. It's a data point. It is information. It's the meaning that you give to it. And it's all about the individual. The act of weighing yourself isn't a problem. If you're worried about jumping on the scale, you've got to dissociate your worth from the number on the scale. Right? It doesn't mean that you're a fucking bad person or you're a good person if you weigh less, right? Like, it's you've got to know that it's about your perception of the number, and it's about the meaning that you're giving to the number. So if you're giving that negative meaning to it, like, yeah, you just did some actions that probably weren't in alignment with where you want to be. It doesn't mean you've got to beat yourself up and go, oh, I'm a shit person because this number hasn't changed. It's just fucking information. Right? Treat it as such. Treat it as just a data point and a way of knowing, okay, because it will fucking change. It will fluctuate like hell. And you can, like, the big thing I want to get through to you is you have control. this is the one area of life where you actually have the most control, because no one's got a tube going into your stomach force feeding you Oreos. No one's pushing your mouth up and down making you chew shit. You are choosing all of these fucking foods. You are choosing all of these drinks. You're choosing what level, even if you're not doing that much activity, and let's say time is the big enemy for you and you've got no time at all to do anything, which is just, you know, that's your belief system, that's your BS, but I'll let you have it. You control how much you eat, and you can, and the weight can change, and time can change, and priorities can change. All of those things can shift, and you can get the result that you want. You've just got to be willing to do that level of work to get there, but it can change. Like, you don't have to be stuck at, you're not a tree. You're not stuck at any one particular weight or in any one particular spot or in any one way. You can do things differently, but you've got to accept that that means that you can't do some of the stuff that you have been doing, and that's okay. But jumping on the scale isn't something that you've got to fucking be worried about. That is like my number one data point for me knowing, all right, am I on track or off track? Right now I'm hovering. I haven't been to the gym for like a week. And as Trav was saying, I told my wife, I was like, I miss running. Like, it's, the weather is like, it's nice, like 22 degrees and cloudy here. I'm like, fuck, this would be a perfect day to be able to go for a run. Not these 32 degree bullshit days I've been having. But I can't because of my back at the moment. I can go for walks, which I have been doing, but the runs at the moment, the impact is just a bit too much. And priority for me above everything else is being able to move well and being able to, you know, squat down and pick up my daughter and hold her and cuddle her when she's whinging about not being able to be in the, you know, because she just goes, daddy, cuddle. And then she just tells me this way, that way, this way, that way. I'm like, all right, you just want to be in like a vehicle that you can move like a forklift around and just go places and pick things up for you. That's what you actually want. But that's my number one priority. But I'm fucking missing running and I'm missing training. And it's been a week. It's been 1 week since I've trained and I've done anything. And I'm like, I'm itching to get back into it. And that's the place that you want to be at, because that's the person that you want to be. If you want the results, if you want to be the fit dad, that is the person that you are going to become, right? And you just have to accept that. And you have to want that. You have to strive towards that. But know that it is going to be a journey. It takes time. But once you're there, it's worth it, because then it becomes easy, like driving a car. None of you think about driving your car home from work. You probably blank out and you wake up, you're like, oh shit, I'm at home. How did I get here? Because you know all the turns so well. I was thinking about this today as I was driving around. I'm like, I remember when I first drove and I was like learning to drive in a manual, and it was like so many things to think about. And you're like fucking paranoid all the time. And now most people do it while they're half thinking about other shit, or they're trying to fiddle with the center console, or half of them are texting. Don't do that. But, you know, or you're listening to a podcast or whatever. Like, it becomes easy. How did it become so easy? You just fucking did it daily because you had to. And now it's like a simple thing. Driving a car anywhere is fucking easy.
But I think the most crucial thing is deliberate practice. Yeah. You focus on becoming a good driver, because yeah, you can do something daily really fucking shit as well, guys. So
it's like, don't, get the instructor. Don't listen to your fucking parents. Yeah, I don't know exactly how to teach you how to drive. Get the qualified instructor who's got the brake pedals on his side of the fucking car too, so they can stop you.
Because if you do, your parents are just going to give you anxiety. And all of a sudden you have anxiety relationship with driving. Just like you might have an anxiety relationship with food if you did it wrong for so many years. So again, if you have the proper training, what it does is it gives you that, and that deliberate practice, the practice of tracking, the practice of doing it right. And doing that over time is exactly what we're talking about. It's like constantly doing the same thing the right way over and over again will ingrain those habits into your life for the rest of your life. And that means you will get there, right? You will, you know, yearn for the gym. You will want to like eat healthy, because, you know, for me, man, like I can't eat, like I'll have a skinny cow. And I think it's because like they're the 100 calorie skinny cows. If I have ice cream, it doesn't matter what it is, I feel sick in my stomach. Like I'm just, my stomach's upset. So I'm sure the chemicals in the skinny cow ice cream is slightly different to normal ice cream, which don't make me upset. So maybe I'm not allergic to chemicals. But the same is if I eat chocolate. If I eat chocolate, man, now, like, and I did it a little bit over Easter, but not much, right? I had my allowed chocolates, except one day. One day I did fall prey to my emotions. I was like, I'm going to have a chocolate egg, because I was just feeling a bit shit. And it's like, man, I'm just like everyone else, right? But I do the good things more often than not. And I think that's the big thing. So when I do the bad things, it's so minor. It's like once in every 78 days or some ridiculous stat probably. So then I had it and I was like, man, I feel sick. Like, and the next day my guts were like gurgling and I felt like I needed to go to the toilet like 30 times. And I was like, I just wasn't feeling good. And it, when I do that, it reminds me, it's like, man, like this is not worth it. But the problem is you do it so often, you do get used to it. And then you don't even realize how bad it's making your insides, how bad it's making you feel, because you're just in a constant state of not being the best version of you, as far as like an optimal standpoint, as far as cognitive function, feeling good and energetic. You're just constantly sluggish and you don't even know what feeling good feels like anymore. And that's the real shame, because, you know, we want you to feel great and we want you to not miss those foods, but understand that there's a lot of foods out there that you eat because it's out of comfort and it's your coping mechanism, but there's better ways to cope. And I think, you know, as you go through this journey, you find new ways to cope with issues or drama or sadness or stress or frustration that benefit you, that help you flip the switch faster to becoming back in line with the best version of you, which pushes you from a low frequency to a high frequency. And I think that is one of the obstacles with long-term success, Jace, is, you know, some people will go, it's not the right time now, right, to change my life. So what happens is they put it off and they don't actually get started with us. Or they go through a tough patch, right? You know, touch wood, I don't get divorced. I was engaged twice before leave. I feel like I've had my breakups before I got married. I got them out the way early. But if I look at it, it's like people are like, oh, I'm going through a hard patch in my relationship. Like, I need to stop training it. I can't do this right now. It's like, man, like, you know, yep, like that's tough, right? And it is tough going through a breakup. And there's some valid stuff out there that I'll be like, yeah, man, press pause and all the rest of it. But so many of us become a little bit soft at the moment because we want to push pause on all the healthy stuff or all the positive things in our life when we're going through a hard time. Or in reality, you're going to go through a lot of fucking hard times in your life. And those hard times is when the healthy stuff counts even more. One, not only as a, you know, better coping mechanism, but two, they allow you to still keep the best version of you moving forward. You might not lose all the weight, but you're still tracking, you're still training. Maybe you're not tracking all your food, but you're still doing your steps, you're still doing your training. Maybe you're still hitting your minimum performance. So your coach is still keeping that in line for you to keep you moving forward. And if you don't have a coach, like if you're going through a hard time, maybe it's like, okay, I'm going through so much at the moment. I was training 4 days a week. I'm just going to tack it back to 2 days a week for the next 3 weeks while I'm dealing with this like huge issue that I'm currently dealing with. And then I'll keep going forward. One of my guys, he's like had 2 knee surgeries in the last year and he's still trained. We still had calls every single week and we modified it for him. Okay, we're doing upper body, man. Because you know what the worst thing is? You can't do anything. Do you know when you can't do anything and you're not talking to someone positive and all your friends are fucking negative? You become negative. And then you start eating like a negative person eats and you're trying to comfort yourself. It's like, oh, woe is me. I had a knee surgery. It's like, no, man. Like that, you just had a knee surgery. You didn't go to war, right? You had some knee surgery.
You didn't still like that's it. Norman,
exactly, mate. You just had some knee surgery. Like it's okay. Like, and you know what? You're probably going to have another surgery in time, but that doesn't mean we stop being the best version of us, right? You know, you can go, well, you know, that sucks. Okay. Well, how do I navigate this obstacle? Trav, let's create an upper body program. Hey, what do we need to do with my calories? Hey, you know, what do I have to do here? I'm happy to maintain, but I'm not going to progress, but I'm not going to go backwards, right? And I think that is the biggest thing. Like when we say we don't want to get going because of it's tough right now, it's always going to have a level of tough and there's always going to be tough times. So that means when it's going to get tough, you're going to give up. I hope not. Because you don't give up on the best version of you. So if you can get started in the toughest of times, it means when it gets easier, it is even easier, which is the best thing, right? I think that is a big pivotal moment because I've seen so many guys get started, then they'll press pause or then they'll cancel or they'll stop because they're going through something. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back on all those good behaviors. And then all of a sudden they just went down, it's like snakes and ladders. They slipped on a snake and they just fucking fell all the way back down to the start. And then they just have to start clawing themselves back again, one behavior at a time, right? Because that's literally what it is. We need to maintain minimum performance standards even through tough times. Because if not, it is a very slippery slope if you don't have ingrained behaviors as the best version of you.
Yeah, and that's why we talked about how consistent you have to be with this practice, right? You can have your times where, you know, things, but even if you were to go from 4 days a week of training to 2 days a week, that's a lot of, like, that's a big amount of time that you get back. But the problem is people go from, they try and go from four to zero. It's like, all right, I've got to completely stop. I'm going to go from 4 days a week of training and tracking my food every day and weighing in daily to 0 days a week of training, not tracking my food, and I might weigh in once a week if I'm lucky. Now, you probably wouldn't even do that. But it's like, you can still gain a shit ton of time from your current setup by training slightly less, like 50% less, still enough to maintain and sometimes even enough to continue the gains. It would definitely be enough to continue to maintain all the muscle mass while you lose fat. You're going to be eating regardless. Like, I tell guys this all the fucking time. Tracking does not take that much time. You take your phone to the fucking toilet with you. You go to the toilet with you probably 4 or 5 times a day. I've seen the memes. I know all the wives say it, right? Oh, dad's going to the toilet. It's going to be 20 minutes, right? You're just going to fucking sit there and scroll random shit. Or you're going to, I don't know, maybe you're old school and you bring the newspaper with you and you flick through that. While you're on there, track your fucking food. Track what you've eaten. Track what you're going to eat. You're done, right?
If you can't remember, just look in the toilet and you see what you ate, then you can track.
Yeah, exactly.
It, right?
Oh, corn.
It's simple.
Was that yesterday? But like, that's the shit. Like, that is it. You've got the capacity. You've got the time. And if you just claw back a bit of that time, or you're like, look, I can't justify getting away from, you know, like, if I go leave the house, I've got to take the kids with me with the way things are right now. Cool. So you're going for walks instead of going to the gym, or you're going to the park and running around and doing circuit stuff with them or whatever, depending on their age. Like, Imi at her age, she's 18 months. She doesn't know if I start doing like push-ups with her, and I was like, I do a push-up and then I like crawl after, like do a bear crawl after her and try and tickle her. And then, like, you know, she doesn't know that I'm trying to fucking work out. She doesn't know that I'm just being physical, and it would probably be more fun for her than me just sitting on my phone while she plays on the fucking equipment, like I see half the parents doing. So like, you've got to be willing to do this stuff for a long period of time. And you've got to know that, like, you just because some hard shit happens, to everyone. Like, randomness has never not happened. Random and hard shit there'll always be that reason there. And you either succumb to that and give up on that, or you keep a little bit of you, as Trev's saying, a little bit of you moving forward. And that's that glimmer of hope. That's that fucking light at the end of the tunnel. Is if you can continue to move yourself forward and you continue to progress in some area when everything else is falling to shit, that's that little thing you hold on to. It's like, above all else, I can put my headphones on and I'm going to go for a 15-minute run. Right. And I'm just going to fucking go for as much of a run as I can before my shower in the evening once the kids are asleep. And that's what I'm going to do. Right. And that's going to be my little me time. And you just fucking own that time. And you say, yeah, this is me doing something. I've had a chat to one of my guys about this recently. It's just something that I'm doing for my health, for me to move forward. Yeah, I might not love the run yet. I might not love the process, but I'm doing something for me to push myself forward, to move myself forward, to progress. And I'm fucking proud of myself for that. And then you pat yourself on the back and you enjoy the rest of your evening. Like, that's the mentality you've got to take to it.
Exactly, mate. And guys, if you feel like you need help divorcing yourself from your past, not your partner, but your past, and you want to try and help, you need help trying to get attached to the future version of you, the one you know that you can be, then go to fit-dad.club. That's what we're here for. We help you, you know, close the gap between where you are and where you want to be, and show you and help you navigate the exact path to get there. So go to fit-dad.club, book in a call. We can talk to you and get you started and help you create a solid plan. And if you want to rate, review us, you know, 5 stars, 1 star, leave a comment, hopefully 5 stars, positive comments, you know, comment on YouTube or rate it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, guys, because that helps us help more dads. And this is why we do this, to help dads become the best version of them, or continue to strive to become the best version of them, because there is always two versions of you out there, and we are constantly striving to become that next best version of us. For me, that's it for the week, guys. Jace, got anything else you want to say?
No, just keep on striving to be that 2.0 fit dad. And that's what we're here for. Let's make it happen.
And that's it, guys. So we'll talk to you next Monday on the Fit Dad Club podcast. Peace. See you, guys.